Good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to an online service, wherever you are. You're part of our church family, and we're so glad that you have joined us. And we want to welcome you to a new series as well, as I am going to speak on a topic of influence. Most of us know this, I think we know this, that following Jesus, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, the disciple of Christ, you know that you're making a lifelong commitment. It is a lifelong journey. And in this journey, God is calling us to be people of influence. He wants us during this journey through life to be people of influence. Now, influential followers of Jesus have a life pattern that consists of commitment, of sacrifice, partnering with Christ, and also accountability. I guess what I'm trying to say right from the beginning, up front, what I'm trying to say is that following Christ can't be done nonchalantly. It can't be done casually, or you can't be half-hearted in living this unique life. It requires total dedication and a complete and total resolve. I was speaking, both Gabby and I were speaking with our son recently, who told us that he had gone skydiving with his friends. In fact, they paid extra money to go up higher. Normally, skydiving people take you up to about 3,000 meters, and they paid extra money to go up to 4,000 meters. And so I asked him, were you nervous? Were you nervous when the door of the airplane opened and you looked down and you saw nothing but air? And way down there you saw the earth? What were you nervous? What were you feeling? And this is what he said to us. He said, there is a point of no return. You have no choice. Whatever emotions you are feeling, whatever your thoughts you may have, whatever regrets you may be experiencing at that moment, whatever queasiness you are feeling within your stomach, when they say ready and the door is opened, you are plummeting towards the earth. There is a point of no return. I remember as a teenager jumping off a very high platform diving board in Winnipeg, Manitoba. The Pan Am Games happened in Winnipeg in 1967, and they built a brand new Olympic-sized swimming pool, and on one end, they had the high diving portion of the aquatic center. And a few years later, I happened to be in that pool, and I was looking up at the at the high dive board, and I thought to myself, well, 10 meters isn't that high. I could jump there. From where I'm standing, it doesn't look too bad. Then I climbed the steps up the 10-meter high diving board. And I looked down, and all of a sudden, everything was much, much smaller, and the distance was great. And at that point, I had to make a choice. When you're up that high and you look down, you have a choice to make. You can either jump into the pool below, or you can embarrassingly turn around and walk back down the steps to ground level. You see, your lifelong walk with Jesus is similar to those two illustrations. If you want to be a follower of Christ that has influence on some level, you have either got to make a decision to move forward in faith, or you relinquish and you turn around and you walk back in fear. Unfortunately, there's a perception among many people that if you add Jesus to your life, then all of a sudden everything will get better in your life. Somehow, people have embraced this idea that following Jesus isn't about having an easier life, but becoming a Christian doesn't make life easier. Listen, becoming a Christian doesn't make your life easier or better or richer. In many regards, things, when you follow Jesus, become more difficult. Some of you have experienced what I'm talking about. You have experienced ridicule, ostracization at the workplace. Some of you have been shunned by family members to family events simply because you are a follower of Jesus. In many parts of the world, Christians, particularly in Middle Eastern country and Asian countries, right now Christians are suffering greatly. I just read a statistic this week that stated that every day there are 13 Christians, every single day, that are killed because of their faith. Nepal recently has criminalized converting to Christianity. If you are caught sharing your faith with another person, you receive 5 years of imprisonment, and that includes missionaries and foreign workers who may be in the country sharing the gospel. In Syria, for example, many Christians have lost their lives because of their faith in Jesus. And in Syria, many Christians have fled to Jordan and Lebanon and are living in refugee camps right now. So it's not right to say that if when I follow Jesus, life is going to be great. And yet so many people embrace this mindset that if I add Jesus to my life, somehow Jesus is going to make my life better. Listen to me, friends. Listen really closely. Following Jesus isn't about having an easier life. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, here while you live life, here while you are following me as a disciple of me, you're going to have many trials and sorrows. That's what Jesus is saying. But notice this, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Listen. Jesus and living for Christ should not be another event that you add to your calendar. It should not be another thing that you do. No, it's a recognition that you are called as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple. You are called to be an influence to the world. It's a volitional engagement that you make with total commitment to be a positive influence and to bring honor and glory to our Savior. So this morning, I just want to take a few moments and take a look at what this life of influence is all about and what it requires. If you have your Bibles, you may want to open them to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, because in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it begins with this transitional phrase. It's the fourth transitional phrase in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says the word therefore. And it's translated therefore in multiple translations. It's this word therefore, or in some translations it may say and so, but basically it's this same phraseology that is said over and over again in multiple translations. Therefore. And whenever you see therefore in the Bible, or the word and so, or for, or so now, it underscores something significantly. When you see this word, or this conjunction phrase, and so, you have to go back and you look at previously what the therefore is referring to. So the call in Romans chapter 12 is to look back and to see what has been previously written in this transition, because something significantly is changing. And that's why this transitional phrase is given to us.
Now, as I said a few moments ago, this is the fourth transitional word in the book of Romans. There are three additional shifts that have taken place previously in the book of Romans. The first one happened in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. This is the first transitional therefore that is described, and it's the therefore of sin. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. What this verse is literally telling us is that the law, the requirements of the Old Testament, does not make us good. It simply reveals that no human being can measure up to the standards of the law. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is a revelation. This is a revelation to our conscience that we fall short of the glory of God. The second transition happens in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It's the therefore of salvation. Notice what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a third transition that is revealed in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it's the therefore of security. That's a powerful statement as we follow Christ. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In other words, it's telling us there is security. As believers in Jesus, we don't need to live life wondering, am I saved today? I wonder if this hour, right now, today, I'm still in Jesus. No. We don't have to wonder that. We can live every hour of every day, month after month, year after year, knowing that as we have made a commitment to live for Jesus, He is not going to reject us. There is no rejection in our commitment of Jesus Christ. And now, we come to the fourth transition. This fourth transition that we're looking at today, found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is the therefore of service. I call it influence. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Due to the fact that God has taken care of our sinfulness in Jesus Christ, due to the fact that God has given us salvation and that God provides us security, as a result of those three therefores, my response in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is one of service. It is one where I become a person of influence. See, what we're seeing described here is what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is telling us is that there is an outworking of our faith that transpires. It's actually quite a practical application of what God has accomplished on our behalf. God has reclaimed us, He's redeemed us, He has provided security for us. In response to the other three therefores, in response to that, I, as a follower of Jesus, now make a lifelong decision in this journey to be a person of influence. And as a person of influence, as I make this decision to be of service to the Lord, it requires of me to do two things. Number one, there has to be ongoing transformation, and there has to be active participation. And so in the next few moments, I want to look at each one of these two requirements. The first one is ongoing transformation. That's what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is describing for us. Since our Lord has taken care of sin, has given us salvation, has provided us with security, now, as a result, my act of worship My act of being thankful for what he has done is that I commit myself to being a person of service and therein influencing my sphere, my world, wherever I find myself. In other words, my life becomes a loving sacrifice. My life becomes an offering back to God. The way I live my life, the way I become a person of influence is an offering back to the Lord as an act of worship. I do this, I engage in this, not because I have to, but because I want to. I recognize the incredible sacrifice that Jesus has made on my behalf. And when I understand this incredible sacrifice, I engage not out of duty, but out of devotion. I offer my life, I offer my body as a living sacrifice, and I do this completely voluntarily. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Notice what it says in the second verse. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This verse is compelling me to follow Christ and to live for Christ by expressingly being committed to an ongoing transformation within my life. Now, you all are familiar with the word transformed. It's the same root word that we get the word metamorphosis from. And if you have gone to school, you remember whether it's in biology classes, even in elementary school, you learned about the transformation that happens when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. The technical term, the scientific term, is metamorphosis. That's ongoing transformation that the Bible is using here. It comes from the same root word. In other words, what the Bible is saying here is the exact experience that happens when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly is exactly the experience that we experience when we make a commitment to follow Christ. There is a transformation that happens in our life. People are made different. We are transformed. We're not the same people that we once were. We become transformed. We are made into a new creation. I have met many people in my years who were totally dependent and controlled by addictive behaviors, by vices, hardcore alcohol, hardcore drugs, vices like nicotine, promiscuity, who were completely broken free of these habits, some of whom are now serving God as pastors and as missionaries, as volunteers in the church, as educators. Their lives were completely and totally transformed by God. Some of these people were rejected by society, but are now doing exploits for the kingdom of God. That's the transformation that is being described here in the scriptures. I've met people who used to be in prison, who now serve Jesus and are leading home study Bible groups in their homes. God has transformed their lives. My friends, listen. There are many people in this community, around our church, who potentially, possibly, could be ridiculing this church. They may even know that you attend this church, and wherever you find yourself in the workplace or in various different settings, they may ridicule you for attending our church. But can I tell you, that maybe 3 years from now, 5 years from now, even 10 years from now, some of the people who are ridiculing the establishment of this church at this location, some of those people who are now ridiculing the gospel of Jesus Christ will be serving communion in this place. They will have been baptized in our baptismal tank here at this church. This will become their worship center. See, God is in the transforming business. He has a way of transforming people. He has a way of interjecting into the lives of people and causing something to happen in their lives that will cause a major transformation to take place. And as I see it, we who are followers of Jesus, we have two options in living this life of influence. We can either blend into the world and blend into society, or we can remain distinctive in order to be a positive influence and a positive light in a darkened world. You can conform, or you can be transformed, but you can't be transformed by your own power. There has to be a volitional, cognitive decision on your part where you invite God into this process whereby we diligently submit, as we sang a few moments ago, I surrender all, where we diligently submit to God's ongoing work and the power of His work in our lives. And we are willing to make necessary changes in our life. I really like the way the Message version paraphrases these verses in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Look how the Message describes these words. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday life, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's surrender, folks. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. And it goes on to say, don't become so well adjusted. In other words, don't conform to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now, may I add to this? That in order for this transformation to take place, where you're not conformed to the pressures and brought into a worldly mindset, there has to be boundaries established in your life. There has to be a volitional decision to made in your life where you remain faithful so that you don't cave in and compromise as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have been ridiculed many times for liking to have a very well manicured lawn. And I even have an edger where I edge the grass so that the grass doesn't grow into the flower bed. And on flower beds, to distinguish the difference between my well manicured lawn and my flower bed, usually I cover it with mulch, and I take great pride in making sure that the mulch in the flower bed does not end up on the grass. There has to be a distinction between grass and the flower bed. But every once in a while, I become lazy with edging. And sometimes I think to myself when I mow the lawn in my yard, I sometimes think to myself, well, I could use the lawnmower to somewhat become the edger. And I will put the wheels on one side of my lawnmower into the flower bed so that it can cut the edge of my grass. But when I do that, the unfortunate thing that happens is the rotation of the rotors of my lawnmower takes the mulch and it shoots it across the yard, the grass, the well-manicured grass. See, here's my mistake, and I've learned this. Here's my mistake. And it's the same mistake that we sometimes, as followers of Jesus, make when we compromise our boundaries. I try to get really, really close with the mower to try and edge the grass with the mulch, with the flower bed. And as a result, the two separate, distinct environments, flower bed and grass, become commingled and get mixed up into the one. The mulch gets blown across the grass. And then I have to take time to try and separate and pull and move the mulch back into the flower bed. And it's a difficult thing once mulch and grass are commingled. So what the Bible is telling us here in Romans chapter 12, as it's asking us to get involved in this transformation process, it is saying transformation cannot happen when there is a conforming to the likeness of the world. There has to remain a distinct boundary between the world and between the mindset of who you are as a follower of Jesus. Our past mistakes should teach all of us that sin, at the very beginning, always starts out as fun. Yet sin always takes us further than we want to go. Sin always costs you more than you are willing to pay. And sin always causes you to stay longer than you should. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, stay away from every kind of evil. That's a boundary. James chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 15 says, temptation comes from our own desires which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. See the progression that happens? And it's no wonder that Romans is trying to encourage us here to engage in a transformation process. And there's nothing better that we can do at the beginning of a new year to walk into this understanding, to know I need to constantly, daily be transformed. Because if you choose to do nothing, you will be, it's like riding a bicycle down a hill slope. Pretty soon the environment is going to take over. I remember as a child, back in the days when there were no helmets, no particular safety features on a bike, just two wheels, a chain, and pedals to pedal. I remember riding down Mountain Road in Stony Creek, a very steep hill, and going faster where my legs couldn't keep up with the pedals as they were turning. And as I was going to go down that hill with no helmet on, I was beginning to lose control of my bicycle. My feet were no longer on the pedals. They were going too fast. I began to wobble, and as gravity began to push me further and faster down that hill, I soon lost control of the bike. And I ended up crashing, thankfully, into a hedge at the bottom of the hill. That's exactly what Romans is trying to teach us here. Sin has a way of dragging you down. But when you constantly are allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you, where you make a volitional decision to be a person of influence, where you want to serve Jesus and bring glory to his name, and you want the world to see the light of the gospel in and through your life, you need to make a decision to walk with boundaries in place, to be a person who is willing to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, here's the second part of a life of influence as followers of Jesus. It requires active participation. Active participation. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 5. Notice these words. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Now, these verses present us with an idea. It's an idea of unity and cooperation within the body of Christ. And within the body of Christ, every person has a unique, distinct quality about them. They have unique experiences. Every person in the body of Christ has fantastic gifts that have been deposited by God into your life so that you, through the church, can further the purposes of God on the earth. Now, I want you to grasp this. We even understand that this is very difficult to put into practice. On a certain level, we understand what we're talking about. We understand the importance of involvement and participation. We understand the importance of becoming a person who understands the importance of service. But what is really hard is actually doing it, is actually engaging, is actually becoming active in that participation, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the community, in God's kingdom, whatever it is. You see, God has given us distinct roles, and we utilize these gifts to work together to promote God's kingdom wherever He leads us, whether it's teaching within a Sunday school class environment, or whether it's participating in online Bible studies, or it's collecting food for the hungry, or sitting with the lonely who are infirm, whatever it is, whatever gifts and whatever leading God has provided in your life, the key to remember is this. When we participate, we are so different from each other. And we all have different idiosyncrasies. We have different likes and dislikes that are so different from each other. But what brings us together is the unity we have, the common bond that we have in Jesus Christ. And Jesus overrides all of our differences, all of our personalities. He overrides our gifts, our talents, our abilities. So when we follow Christ and we actively participate in service with Christ, because Jesus overrides and is our leader, as it were, our service with the right spirit means that I don't do whatever I do to receive glory for myself. No, what I do in life as a follower of Jesus is always to bring glory to Christ. It's not about who is going to get the credit for whatever is done. It's always about giving all of our credit, all of our adulation, all of our kudos to Jesus, because we are active participants in advancing the kingdom of God. Understanding, listen, folks, understanding that we are part of God's kingdom, understanding that we are part of His universal church, we serve together. And the reason we actively serve together is because we understand that the world must see Christians united amidst diversity. That is the greatest testimony that we as a church can portray to the world. The greatest testimony is, as different as all of us are, not only in looks and in participation, but in giftings, as different as we are under the umbrella of Jesus Christ, And our active participation in the church amidst all of this diversity, and we're unified, brings glory to God. Listen to me very closely. The worst promotion and the worst advertisement of the church to the community is when the church is divided. The worst promotion or advertisement of the church in the community is when the church and its people are lazy. So when the church is lazy and it's divided, it undermines our influence in the world. And all of us, as we enter a new year, all of us have the responsibility to participate. We can't have the attitude that dismisses our responsibility to someone else, and we have this attitude that says, I've done my part, I've done it for years, now it's somebody else's turn to step in. No, please. We need to embrace and dive in more than ever before, a level of participation, because we are all passionate about using our giftings and our giftedness for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul continues in verse 6 through verse 8. He gives us in Romans chapter 12 a kind of an list of examples of how some of these deposits, these giftings are to be utilized in the kingdom of God. He uses these examples as a listing of how we can expand and be an influence using our gifts in active participation in the kingdom of God. Look what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through verse 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This is just a simple list of what the Apostle Paul is saying here in his writing in the book of Romans. He is saying, as an active participant in the kingdom of God, here are some gifts. Look how these gifts are used. Now, this is not an all-inclusive list. This is simply a list of examples where we need to understand all of us have gifts, and when we utilize those gifts to influence and bring glory to God in our community, they're not for edification to ourselves, but they're given to you so that you can release and portray them upon other people. And if we are not using the deposit of God's gifts in our lives, then we are robbing and cheating the church. And the church's influence in the world is reduced. Now listen, some gifts are more obvious than others. Some gifts are more public and others are more private. Some gifts are witnessed by many, some gifts only by a few people. Can I tell you this? That whatever is done in the name of the Lord is important. Doesn't matter how invisible or visible you are. If you are doing and desirous to be influential in God's kingdom, whatever you do, it is unto the Lord, and He will receive the glory. One of the most fascinating things I read about this week was this young boy, 12 years old, as a matter of fact, who had his Facebook page viewed 52,000 times in one day. It went viral. And here's what happened. This 12-year-old boy, Monty Scott, decided to take dirt, shovel dirt from his backyard and along his street where there were many, many potholes where he lived, he began to fill these deep potholes on the city street where his house was, he began to fill those potholes with dirt from his own backyard. And he said these words, when he was interviewed, I didn't want people messing up their cars like my mom did. If somebody were to drive down this street, my street, and hit a pothole, they would have to pay something like $600, $700 to get their car fixed, and they would be really mad. To me, when I read this and saw this, this is what a selfless initiative is, even in a young boy. And I can tell you, such selfless initiative is in short supply in our world today. His mother said, when Monty sees a need, he always usually tries to fix it by himself. Listen, and I'll wrap up with this. You and I can't serve everyone or everything where we see a need. But what we can do, listen, what we can do is we can pay attention to the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the Holy Spirit will nudge us to use whatever giftings, to use whatever abilities that we have to meet an unmet need without being invited. And when we listen to the Holy Spirit and when we follow the promptings of God's Spirit in our lives, and we fulfill the need that's before us, my friends, can I submit to you? That's exactly what influence is all about. And when you walk in that obedience to the promptings of God's Spirit in you, you become an influential person for the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning, may we become more sensitive this year to the promptings and to the leading of your Spirit in us. You are calling each of us to become people, disciples of influence, where we portray Jesus and his message to a world around us. Wherever we find ourselves, God, I pray, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in a community center, whether it's walking down the road on a sidewalk, whether it's in a grocery store, wherever we find us, with family members, with friends. God, wherever we find us, when there is a need, cause us to be sensitive to that need so that we can be a positive influence to the people you have surrounded us with. That's my prayer, Jesus. And I pray this for everybody watching, wherever they may be. Bless them, O God, and let your Holy Spirit guide this church and guide each one of our lives throughout every single day throughout this year is my prayer. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week. Have a great week as you isolate yourself during this COVID virus. But we're praying for you, thinking about you, and let's get together again next week and invite people to join with us during these broadcasts. Have a great week. God bless you. Amen.